Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth drama.
All right, welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger, a.k.a. F the N-Word. And I am joined by my fantabulous co-host, the alluring Miss 100%. And tonight, we've got animator, storyteller, Chris Crazy House. In the house tonight. Oh, man. Trust me, if you want to laugh, you will go to this man's site. It is, I mean, it's better than any TV channel you can ever go to, but we gonna go there. If you want to holler at us, 646-929-2037 is the call-in number. Once again, the call-in number 646-929-2037 to holler at me 100 and I guess Mr. Chris Crazy House tonight. Also, you know, we're very sociable, and you know, the most sociable of us all is Miss 100%. Tell them where they can reach out and touch you, Miss 100%.
I don't know about reaching out and touching me. if they want to, you know, get a good conversation going, you know, about anything, I'm open-minded. So you can get me on Facebook, Miss 100% on Facebook, or you can reach me at Yahoo. I'm not on BS at Yahoo.com.
All right.
And I will be sure to get back to you. Just make sure that you don't stop me. Don't put nothing crazy in the subject line or you're going straight in the trash. That's all I have.
All right. Well, if you don't feel like Miss 100% is stalkable enough, you can feel free to stalk me on the low. on Twitter, I'm Smooth Drama. You can follow me there. Facebook, my yearbook tag, everywhere else, I'm Dick Hugger. So, add me and I'll add you back and we can talk and taste on it. Speaking of talking to taste, Miss 100%, do you have a flash drive?
I'm pretty sure I do somewhere.
Yeah, well, I was going to say that there's a San Francisco based design company that's come out with a flash drive that doubles as a vibrator.
Ha ha ha! Where they at?
Yeah, they can. You can plug it into your laptop to charge.
Oh, damn.
So it doubles as the vibrator as well as a flash drive. So it's very, very handy.
Well, okay. So wait. Okay. I want to get a little bit of details going on this. Let's spend about 30 more seconds on this. So, flash drives are typically small, right?
Yeah.
So, how is that going to double as a vibrator? Because when I say vibrator or think of vibrator, how is that going to be a vibrator? What can that do for me? Or not for me.
Yeah, I know. What will it do for the consumer? Supposedly, it has the dual, you know, the dual platform. They was trying to figure out how they can make it happen. You know how you have the flash drives that have the two, you have the part that you plug it into, and it's like a whole beam, but you take it apart and then you can plug it into your laptop or computer.
Right.
That part is the part where you get the jingling baby part.
Oh!
So when you plug it in together and you hit the on switch, it's on.
It's on and popping, huh?
It's on and popping.
Wow, when it's coming out again?
Well.
Hey, I'm about to put some money aside so I can, you know, get one for a friend.
Get one for a friend? So fella, you know, if you check your woman, she's got an overabundance of flash drives. You know what that is.
I just like to say for the fellas, y'all better step y'all game up.
Down. Oh, that takes spending more time on the computer to a whole nother level.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Now, speaking of other crazy ideas, there's a guy out of Harvard, a synthetic biologist, Sharif Manzi, and Australian body architect Lucy McCrae. They've come out with a pill that enables the human skin to emit a genetically unique scent. So, I guess what's supposed to happen is the fragrancy is supposed to come through your skin as you sweat. It's a swallowable perfume. You swallow the pills and it's like a vitamin, it doesn't do your body any good. It just allows the smell to come through.
It just makes you smell good.
Pretty much.
It makes you smell good while you're at the emergency room drinking charcoal because of the poison that you just ingested. Is that correct? Yeah.
Pretty much. I myself, the Skittles that make me smell good, I don't know if I'm necessarily feeling that.
I don't think so. Picture this, you know, eating perfume, basically.
Well, that's what we're talking about here. It's supposed to, I don't know what the taste is. I'm thinking somehow it's not going to do that well.
Well, maybe you said if something like a vitamin, it would be like a vitamin, maybe.
Well, it's like candy. So you eat it, swallow it, whatever. You're supposed to ingest it, and then it's supposed to, I guess, gets broken down in your system and it emits through your pores and supposed to make you smell good.
Hmm.
So instead of spraying it on, you can just eat your cologne.
Well, I can almost see that though, because you know there are vitamins that you can take that, you know, cleanses your body, and you know while you're cleansing your body, you know the things that we eat and drink and stuff, you know, over time, it does start to come out your pores. So, you know, those vitamins help with that. So maybe this is sort of the same thing.
Mm.
Oh, but on the bad side, I wouldn't want to be the person testing it.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, you try it out, you get them free samples, and you let me know.
No, it won't be me.
I don't see the homies like, oh man, I just bought this pack of cologne. What you mean pack of cologne? It like come in a pack of M&Ms. Just, you know, I can eat one right before I'm going to the club and I smell good all night.
I know some people that need that, though, because they got that double fuck. Woo, you heard of the double fuck syndrome, haven't you? They so funky, they don't know they funky.
The double fuck?
That's double funk. That's it's so funky that they have blocked their own senses out. They can't even smell their stuff. All
right. we gonna table that one for later. We're gonna see if it actually makes it out there. We find somebody who actually tested out, tasted, whatnot. They can tell us if anybody out there listening, you know anybody who is taste testing that. Let us know. Holla at us. We would love to hear from you. Even though
it has poison control on feed now when you do it.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah, definitely be ready to go to the emergency room. But hey, who are we? Normally I save these kind of cases for like our dumbass section, but I wanted to ask you this. This is one of the things where I gotta ask you, Miss 100%. You are my moral guide here.
Oh, man. Oh, you're gonna be in a whole heap of trouble. No, I'm just
Well, see, Aaron's story I read. I just wanted to talk about it. You know, we go back and forth. I got my feelings. I want to see what your feelings are about this scrapyard worker who's accused of raping a teenager who tried to steal some metal. Now, what happened is guy Marshall Sheldon, he caught 17-year-old girl attempting to take some metal out of the scrapyard. So, what he does, he told her that, hey, if you have sex with me, I won't turn you over to the cops. So, she decided she didn't want to go to the cops and she performed oral sex on him. And then she comes back with her mother and attack him. He calls the cops and he ends up getting arrested and being held on $10,000 bail.
Wow.
Now I ask you, I mean, do you think that he should have went to jail for that?
No, I don't think he should have went to jail for that. However, with her being 17, that's probably more of the reason why he went to prison, because it doesn't matter if he knew if she was 17 or not. The thing is, she's only 17. So statutory rape, you know, those laws. But when I'm looking at it from my point of view, I don't think he should have went to jail, and just for her going to get her mama, that's some bitch assness right there. I can't imagine going to tell my mama that I got caught stealing and I gave a blowjob so I wouldn't go to jail. My mama would have beat the hell out of me.
I'm thinking that she probably didn't say that. I'm thinking she probably said, this man forced me to have oral sex on him.
In the scrapyard.
Hey, that's where all the teenagers hang out.
Well, what were you doing at a scrapyard? I mean, you know what? It's just so many different elements here. It's just crazy. And I'm wondering why more questions wasn't asked, but it was probably just the fact. And then here's the double standard in our society. You know, we talk about double standards all the time. Men versus women. Okay, here's the flip side of it. If a man says that he was raped, he gets laughed at. But a girl says she's raped, they don't question anybody. They just immediately pick the guy up and throw him in prison, period and point blank. So I think that's kind of messed up, to be able to just say I was raped and somebody has to go to prison because I lied.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think it was a cut and dry situation. She didn't have to, but she knew that she did wrong, So she performed the sex on. Now we can say, but he shouldn't have told her she had to perform the sex on him, but she could have just said no and let him call the cops.
But that, he didn't force himself on her. He gave her a choice.
Right. She had a choice. She made the choice. Then she went and told her mommy.
Wow.
Anyway.
Because she must have the time that she did that.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things. It's up in the air. I guess we'll never know all the details on that one, but it's one of them subjective situations. Mm-hmm. I think that both of them should have just been like, don't do that no more and let it go.
He just really, when you think about, okay, let's take them, like you said, I'm your moral compass or whatever. Let's take the moral high road. He should have just called the police.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we're going to go on break before we bring in Mr. Chris Crazy House. This is Callie off his album, The Man of Many Hats. I used to love her.
Women so pretty. One to keep me company with nothing to do. I always said I never fucked with you ever, but when my homies finally introduced me, I was like, whatever. Never thought we'd be together so long. Sharing you with others, but staying with you when I knew it was wrong. I didn't mind you reminding reality. When my mom found we were fucking around, she got mad at me. So what though? We was just having some fun. At least I wasn't out banging and robbing people with guns. Never. She brought me peace, but she also held me back. The thing I loved, and she was easy. Always had her in the sack with booty calls, late nights in my drawers, waking in the middle for just a little whenever duty calls. In my drawers after licking her down, till we were tight and I could pick her up from all over town. Not a hooker, but you know I had to give up the dough. No skank, spent my money on that high class show. You know me, homie, only fuck with the best. But because of money troubles, I'll be left with stress.
Accept, listen to this. I have a dream that I can hide, then I wake up on this. It's so rare, I thought I smoked but I didn't. I used to love her Mary Jane, but I've been sober for a minute. I had to quit it, she never really committed. So since I knew I had a problem, it's my way to admit it.
Yeah, you know, I know y'all know what it's about. You know we be meeting up on the low, though. I ain't the only one. I'm a condo man. Yeah. Addict. Collective culture.
Addict one.
Contains jazz.
George.
George P. What up, Holly?
Literate shit, man.
Together you got
to
move. Rumba.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was Cali off his album, The Man of Many Hats. I used to love her. I love that album. And in between times, we get my man Chris Crazy House on the phone here. So we can...
I'm here.
Hey, welcome to Smooth Drama, man. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys doing this evening?
Great. Hi, Mr. Miller. Thanks for coming on the show.
Well, thank you guys for having me, Mr. Hugger and Mrs. 100%.
Yeah. Man, first I got to tell you, you got the funniest sight on the face of the earth.
I appreciate that.
I can't express to you how much you made my stomach hurt on your sight and your animations and... I mean, it's just, wow.
Well, thank you. That's one of the reasons I started was really just to, you know, make myself and make my friends laugh. So, you know, when I started back in 2003, that's what it was all about. But, you know, I moved on to trying to broaden the audience, you know.
Well, I got to ask you this, man.
What's up?
Who are the Hake Nash reviewers? I got to know.
Oh, man, so many. I get so many ridiculous emails. I was just telling some friends about I just got some messages on YouTube. Now YouTube stopped this guy before he could finish, but I got some racist on my YouTube page saying, "Hey, shouldn't you be eating Kentucky Fried Chicken?"
Been there, done that.
Yeah, you know, instead of making cartoons, and but YouTube shut that guy down before. But you know, it's just, I don't know. I guess some people like the old adage says, people who can't criticize. You know, so, you know, you got people out there that, it's always fun to me, too, when they, like, criticize my videos, and then I go to their YouTube page, and they don't have any videos on there, they just have favorite videos on there.
Right. Yeah. So, to explain to the people why I asked you about the Hake Nash reviewers, he's
Right. Well, because I made a cartoon called The Reviewer Beatdown, and it's kind of an interactive cartoon, you could say, like a... Years ago, I used to put my stuff up on certain websites like Newgrounds and YouTube, and I would get all these reviews about saying, like, you suck and all this other stuff. So I decided to make a cartoon about those people, and just, like, you can pick those people and beat the crap out of them and kill them and do whatever you want to them. So.
Yeah, trust me, y'all. It's hilarious because you get to pick the reviewer, and then you pick the person that's going to kill them.
Right.
From there, they go about whooping on their ass. Man, that was all I could say. I had never seen nothing like that before, and my hat's off to you, man. You don't know how many times, like, you have the people who call in, and you know they just straight up internet cowards.
Right. Yeah, but yeah, I really wanted to do that, and like I tried to give the different categories, you know, like the fat guy who lives in his mama's basement, you know, the little 16-year-old that just writes curse words and calls everyone the N-word just because, you know,
they
think it's cool to curse people out on the internet. And then you got the art critic, which I like to call is like the guy that's, you know, he's trying to get his movie script done, but he's working as a waiter, so he's probably never going to be famous, but he's criticizing other people that are doing something with their lives, so.
It's just a bunch of computer bullies.
Right, pretty much. But, I mean, I'm not going to kill myself like some kids do. I kill them in animated form, so.
Yeah, the whole computer bully, I don't even see how people call somebody saying stuff about me on the computer.
Right.
Like, oh, that hurts.
don't know why they can't just block the person or, you know, delete the comment. You know, like back in my day, you know, I grew up during the 80s, you know. You learn from all the great 80s movies, like Karate Kid, you're supposed to go, you know, get confident and kick the bully's ass, you know.
Exactly.
So.
Or do like you did and make a cartoon whooping on their ass.
Right, or just make fun of them. I mean, you know, whatever, people can say whatever they want, you know, it doesn't bother me at all. It's just, you know, I'm going to keep doing my thing regardless. You're always going to have haters out there no matter what, so.
Now, how'd you get into the animation game? You've been an artist all your life.
Right. Well, I'm originally from New Jersey, and I've been doing art, like you said, since I was about 3 years old, pretty much. My father actually was a musician when I was born, but I guess, like, after I was born, he needed to get more responsible. So he switched up to doing architecture. And so he was kind of like my first art teacher, really. I used to go on jobs with him and hang out with him while he was doing at the drafting table and whatnot, while he's doing architecture. And he kind of showed me just the basics of art, I guess, as far as like doing perspective and character design and whatnot. So later on, you know, I kept doing it through the years. I used to do my own comic books, especially, you know, for us black kids, there's no real black characters out there for us to really latch on to. So I had to like kind of create my own characters and make my own adventures.
Right.
And then, you know, I went to some art classes when I was in high school, and then finally I went to the Art Institute in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, for animation. Mm-hmm. And that's where I kind of got my background as far as doing traditional 2D animation, as well as doing, like, web stuff, like web animation and Flash and whatnot. So.
Now, what originally caught my attention, you're working on an animated movie, Moops Angel.
Yes.
You wanna talk about a little bit about that and what we can look forward to?
Yeah, actually, I started working on this project, I guess, like last February. Like I was just doing just a digital painting of a character, and you know, I liked it so much I wanted to do something with it. And after that, I kind of went on to write the script. Now, the basic story for Amut's Angel is about a black model named Salda Saint. You know, she starts getting real famous in Hollywood and everything, but she decides not to do certain roles, unlike, you know, some of the other actresses out there like Halle Berry, you know. You know, I kind of halfway based it on like her career, but, you know, taking the honorable route and not doing pornography. So you know, she decides not to do movies, and like these, you know, these elitists wind up killing her. And she, you know, comes back as like the avenging angel of the death goddess Amut, which is an Egyptian goddess.
All right, the command.
And that's the creature that you usually see in it's kind of like next to the scales. It has like the head of a crocodile, the mane of a lion, and like the body of like a hippopotamus.
Right.
So I just wanted to do something fun and, you know, enter into some film festivals and kind of do something different. I mean, it was a cool looking character. And, you know, there's not very many strong black female characters out there. I guess Zoe Saldana's trying to do it, but, you know, she claims she's not black, so it is what it is.
Right. So, I mean, talking about that, you know, there's no shortage of animators, people doing it independently, but it seems like a lot of these stories don't get out. I mean,
right.
What do you think that we can do to kind of put a spotlight on it and try to get more of these stories out?
Well, really, just getting the story out is just, you know, you got to find people like me that are, you know, willing to get out there and do it. Because, you know, what I found out, and I was talking to another business partner of mine today about this, is like there's so many people out there that talk about doing something, but we don't actually go out there and do it. And I think that's a big flaw with us as, you know, black people and black artists. You know, sometimes we talk about doing something and talk about our dreams, but we never actually put the foot down and start doing it. Like when I was when I started my website, Chris Crazy House, you know, it was supposed to be four different people working on this website, but, you know, they kind of goofed off and kind of dropped out and wanted to do other things. So I wound up doing it myself because I was like, you know, I'm going to do this damn thing no matter what. So that's the thing. You got to find people that are willing to do it, and you got to have people out there that are going to support it. You know, and it's really kind of, I try not to get too hard on black people as far as support, because sometimes it's just they don't know about it. you know, sometimes you got to kind of find the venue so they can find out about your product. Because once they see it, a lot of times they like it.
Right.
Like I, you know, I have a comic book for kids called Knuckleheads. And, you know, at first the sales weren't that great. But once I started going to conventions and more specifically black comic book conventions, you know, that helped get it out there. And, you know, the kids loved it and adults loved it. So, you know, that made a big difference.
Yeah. Now, I actually, when I was reading your bio info, you were talking about you did the art for a comic, Captain Saberhood.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, one of which I actually have that book.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, The Adventures of Captain Saberhood. Yeah, I did the inks and the colors for the comic book, and we actually did a 30-minute animated film with that as well. I don't know what the creator, Eric, is doing with that film right now. Like, he showed it at the San Diego Comic-Con a year ago. But what else he's doing? Like, I think he wants to try to get it in theaters, like, here in Atlanta, because that's where I'm located, actually, in Atlanta right now. So I'm not exactly sure what he wants to do with it, but...
Well, I've seen him 2 years in a row there. I mean, the first year he had just the book.
Right.
I didn't see him show it, so... Maybe.
Right.
I didn't find
it. He had like one screening, like one of the evenings there. I recall.
Okay.
But that was like a year ago. It's hard for me to remember. But all I remember is staying up late nights working on that damn thing. So it's kind of a blur to me now.
So now with Amoots Angel, what kind of is it going to be an hour, 2 hours?
It's going to be real short at first because it's entered into the Underground Film Festival here in Atlanta for shorts. So what I'm going to do is it's going to be under like 8 minutes or so. But I want to keep, you know, adding more to it over the year or so, because I'm going to kind of just release it as like smaller episodes on the website. So just to have kind of like a little mini web series or something like that people can go and watch and enjoy, you know, and kind of maybe create some buzz with it. But I'm also, as I add more to it, I'm going to be entering it into more film festivals as well, just to kind of give it some attention to get my name out there as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, for me, I just think that all it would take for you is to actually just work the circuit. I mean,
right?
You got a lot of great content.
Right.
And like you said, it's just about people knowing about it. Cause,
right, exactly. You know, like that's my plan for the next year or so. Like once I finish this first segment of it, is to, you know, just go out there, just show what I got, you know, and you know, so you can generate some more interest in it. Because you never know, maybe I'll get some funding to do a feature-length film or something like that. Or, you know, someone might like the character so much they want to buy it. So we'll see.
Yeah. Now let me ask you this, and illuminate the people. How hard is it to put together an animation? I don't think people understand this.
Right. people don't understand just how hard or how much work it requires. Like, you know, the fact that I'm here on the East Coast and I'm up pretty late right now. I'm actually working on like the last action sequence in the film right now, which is like a kind of like a shootout sequence. So it takes some time. Like, I started working on this in, hardcore working on it, like, in April. And pretty much that's just because, you know, I work as well. Like, I work as a contractor, so I do, you know, I do art and animation for other people.
Right.
So, you know, trying to find time in between that and, you know, doing my own stuff. I want to, you know, always want to make time to do my own stuff as well, because I plan on one day not doing contract work and just doing my own content.
Right.
So, but yeah, it does take a long time. You know, people don't realize, you know, when someone says like you're doing 24 frames per second or 30 frames per second, that's actually 30 drawings within that 1 second
right.
of animation that you're watching. So, you know, a lot of people don't realize how much work goes into that. I mean, the computer makes it a little bit easier, but still, it's still a lot of work, and you got to know, you have the basic knowledge of what you're doing to make things work.
All right. Now, focusing back on your comics. Now I was reading your Congo Crisis.
Right.
And I don't think people quite got, you know, I don't know if people ready, but I thought that was one of the deepest things that I saw you did, and I know a lot of people don't pay attention to what goes on over in what they call Africa.
Right. Well, like, you know, a lot of people don't know what's even, like, when I bring up the Congo, you know, people like don't even know what I'm talking about sometimes, and it's kind of sad when I hear black people that don't know anything what's going on there, but pretty much every electronic device that you have, from your video game consoles to your cell phones to your, you know, your computers, they all have special minerals that come from the Congo. So pretty much the Congo should be the richest nation on the planet.
Yeah.
Just based on what comes out of there. But what's happening is, you know, you got these armed militias and gangs that are forcing these people to work in there and get, you know, get these precious metals, and they're selling them to these companies, but the actual people there aren't making any money. And a lot of times what happens is, you know, if they don't go along with what's, the people don't want to go along with it, you know, women get raped, or, you know, to, instead of getting jumped into a gang, what they do is they take a young man and they'll force him to, like, rape his mother or his sister to be in this, like, militia. So it's just a lot of real sick stuff going on over there. And the Congo's a real tragic story, because ever since the Belgians got over there, it's been, you know, a hellhole pretty much. So it's like I said, do some research on it, you know, because I can say, you know, I can try to give you an idea, but you have no idea until you actually do the research. So
I'm aware of the situation. I mean, it's one of the things that I try to always draw a comparison between there and here, because I don't think people understand that we have a connection.
You know, right.
That's where we're from.
Right, and like I said, if you want to do some research, I don't know if you want to might have your Google Safe search on, because you'll see some horrible images, just to let you know.
Yeah, well, I don't think people really want to see.
Right.
I mean, we always hear folks talking about, oh, how bad we have it, and I'm like, nah.
Right.
No matter how bad it is, if me and you are hungry, we can go and rob 7-Eleven.
Right. You know, I can go to, at least go down the street and, you know, get a dollar cheeseburger or something like that.
All right.
You know?
Yeah, there's nobody to rob. There's no store to get a dollar cheeseburger or
right.
anything of that matter. It's just abject slavery, indentured servitude at its finest.
Right.
And yeah, I always wonder why there's not more focus on that, I mean, coming from our community.
Right. I mean, like I said, this, and just the fact that we all use something that has those minerals in there. So,
well,
I said that should be like the richest nation on the planet, but, you know.
Well, I mean, in the whole, you know, how we shining.
Right, right.
All you talk about our jewelry coming from there, and it's,
right.
Okay, you're fighting and killing yourself to shine here. At the same time, you're oppressing your people. It,
right.
It's a very sick cycle.
Right.
Now, we get a little dark here. Now, on your site, where was the concept for the Star Battle, the rap battle? Like a Star Wars?
That came from... you know, years ago, I did the corporate America thing, and I was working at this company doing just animations for mobile phones and stuff like that. But, you know, during my breaks, and, you know, a lot of times, like, the guys used to show me these Smack DVDs,
mm-hmm.
you know, where they were like, you know, give me a Smack DVD, and I'd go home and watch it. I'd be going home late from whatever, watch that and pop it in, just because I was kind of disenfranchised with rap at that time. You know, so I was like, man, there's no good rap out anymore, but there's some people are showing me the Smack DVDs, and, you know, I just thought, you know, the guys on there were very talented. I think this was during the era of, like, you know, Young Miles, Murder Mook, what's the other guy, Loaded Lux and all that, all those guys, you know, just doing freestyle battles against each other. So I just had the idea, I wanted to do something like that, and I just thought it would be funny if, you know, you got the two greatest sci-fi franchises going head to head. So I had, like, you know, the Dark Side crew, which made up from characters from Star Wars, like Darth Vader and Boba Fett, going up against Star Trek crew. So you got essentially Darth Vader in a freestyle battle against Spock. And like I said, I just thought it would be funny, and, you know, people really like that one. At least people that are, you know, into rap, you know, they find that one funny.
Yeah, that one is really funny. I mean, but I thought that you had a lot of original concepts up there. I mean, I've seen some other stories with Star Trek and
right.
Star Wars, but never them going at each other.
Yeah, I wanted to add that, you know, that whole element of the internet beef, which I find so ridiculous but so funny at the same time, just how, you know, guys go back and forth on YouTube talking bad about each other and stuff like that. It's just kind of silly and childish when you think about it, but it is funny to watch and entertaining. So
yeah,
you had the element of, you know, maybe Captain Kirk talking trash online and showing videotape of Darth Vader, you know, getting burnt up and whatnot. You know, I was just having a good time, and you know, I think I added some stuff. You know, the classic video of the guy getting punched in the face during a freestyle battle. I added that to the end of Star Battle. You know, so
yeah, that's what it endeared me to your site, because it's just a whole bunch of or to catch a super predator. Oh my God!
Right.
I mean, I personally tire of the Dateline. I mean, it's crazy because I'm tired of it because there's so many of them.
Right. Right. When I did that in the show, it was really just at the height of its popularity. Like, it was still on TV when I did that cartoon. Actually, the cartoon became so popular, like, my website crashed because people kept going to the website to watch it. So it. You know, I'm glad I did it though, because it turned out as a good marketing tool for myself, because people actually remember that cartoon or they remember seeing it, especially the Super Mario episode. People find that one the funniest.
Yeah.
I think that you touch on a lot of different genres in your art, but
right.
The one thing I'm looking at is tell us about Flash Diva.
Right. The Flash Divas is something I started a year ago. I was just going to a lot of conventions, and I saw a lot of artists there. Like, they would, you know, they would have their regular art there, but then they would also have, like, what's called cheesecake or pinup artwork. And I wanted to do something like that, too, but I didn't want to do exactly what they were doing. I wanted to do something different. I wanted to kind of create my own, like, line of characters and just do my own type of pinup art. So I wanted to kind of have, like, my own style to it as well. Because, like, most guys, they draw, I guess, almost semi-realistic type women, or they just draw like straight up anime girls or whatever. So I just wanted to do something of my own style, and you know, it's just something I did during my free time over the last year or so. And it's kind of, I honestly think I've improved actually, because if you see some of the original drawings, they're kind of whack. I'm like, damn, why did I even put this up? But
well,
you know, it's gotten better over the last year or so, and it's actually gotten some attention because people actually bought the little pinup magazine I did, and you know, people liked the blog, and I've gotten a lot of commissions as well. Like, a lot of stuff you see on there that are, you know, when you see pop characters or characters from famous cartoons, that a lot of that is commission work. So people like it, and, you know, I'm kind of glad of that. It gives me a different avenue of doing something else other than just the wacky cartoons or just doing kids cartoons. So,
well, I mean, I don't think it's necessarily wacky. I think that you have a viable product. It's just, it, people see it, I can't see how they could not be your fan.
Well, thank you, I appreciate that. I've gotten some people that I beg to differ, but
well, I mean, but those are the people that you beating the hell out of.
Right. Those are the funniest emails, by the way. The hate mail is always the funniest stuff to read.
Oh, trust me, I know about it, man. I know about it. You know, you get the phone calls, you ain't nothing but a coon.
Have you ever thought about doing that?
Right now on my blog, I do give like art lessons and animation lessons as well. And that's basically just something simple that I wanted to do. Over the last year or so, I've been doing what's called sketch blogs, just kind of trying to give kids just an idea of what the industry is like. What inspired me to do this was a story I saw from this girl that graduated from the same exact school that I did, but I think she graduated back in like 2007, and she can't find a job, but she's working as a stripper now. So like, I wanted to just tell kids out there that sometimes, you know, you might not get that great art job that you think you're going to get when you go to the art school. You might not be working for ILM or or doing the new video game for World of Warcraft or something like that. So I wanted to show them that there is another avenue, that if you, even if you don't get into a major studio, there's other stuff you can do and still be your own person and still be an artist and, you know, still enjoy what you do.
Because
a lot of times you know, you have these dreams and then, like, it doesn't happen the way you want it to happen and you feel like you're crushed. But the way I see it, I'm going to do this till the day I die. So I want to keep things going as best I can.
So you're saying if I don't make it as an artist animator, I can't strip? That ain't the way.
Hey, do what you feel is best. So, like, all I'm saying is, you know, don't give up on your dreams. That's all I'm saying. And hopefully I can help. That it was funny too when I made that video about that girl. She sent me like a reply email, and she sent me like nude photos of herself. I was like, I wasn't ready for that, but I guess that was her way of thanking me for it. But okay.
That's the payment.
Yeah, I showed my wife the picture. She thought it was hilarious. But.
Yeah, that's kind of funny. Well, tell the people where they can find you, and also when can we expect to see your Amoot Angel, man?
Right now, just if anyone wants to contact me, just go to my website at chriscrazyhouse.com. I'm known as chriscrazyhouse@gmail.com if you want to email me personally. Go to the website. It always has up-to-date information about me and my projects. If you scroll down on the home page, you can just link up with me online. I'm on Facebook, DeviantArt, YouTube, and on Twitter as well. So Amoot Angel, the first showing is going to be 2 weeks from now. I believe it's the 22nd through the 25th. But I'm going to be putting it on the actual website after that, probably like the first week of October. So I'm going to release it in episodes. So the first episode will probably be up the first week of October. So I want to, because this is kind of like a kind of scary action movie, so I wanted to kind of release it for the Halloween type season. So.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I look forward to it. I mean, it was one of the things when I saw it, I was like, man, I got to talk to this dude.
Well, I appreciate it. I definitely appreciate doing the interview.
Well, I want to thank you once again for coming on the show, man. And I definitely look forward to seeing some of your work come out and get it out there to the people, because they need to see some of your eccentric ideas.
Well, thank you guys very much. Thank you, Miss 100%, and thank you, Mr. Hugger, for all your time and attention, and, you know, checking out my work and spreading the word as well.
And just call me F the N word, man.
Okay.
Well,
thank you guys. I appreciate it. I'll be listening to the show from now on.
All right. Thank you, man. I'll be checking you out too.
All right. Take care.
All right.
Peace. All right,
peace.
Bye.
All right. That was Chris Crazy House. Man, you know, if you want to laugh, I mean, I look at creative websites, creative people like that. It discourages me even more to watch TV. I think that websites like that, innovative ideas, are where we should be going. I mean, I'd rather watch his shows than a lot of this regurgitated junk on TV. I mean, you know, they watching advertisements for what, 3 more cop shows? I'm like, we don't have enough cop shows already.
And there's no shortage of talent and creativity when you go to the site. It's like I said before, he touches on all types of genres, so there's something there for everybody to enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, as my man Ken Gray says, less Kardashians. I'm like, I don't get it. I mean, yeah, they've got big booties, but that's going to make me watch a show with them walking around? I mean, you going to watch that for an hour?
Watch them shop. And
yeah.
When you can just hook up with somebody that got a big booty and, you know, you can actually touch them. I mean, she's not the only Caucasian girl with a big booty, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Sure, she's not.
obviously. It seems like, you know, that's supposedly in, because that's what everybody's talking about. I personally can't do it. I don't get it. I mean, I can honestly tell you the only thing that I've seen with Kardashian was the Ray J sex video.
I haven't even watched. I haven't watched that. But you know what? That's what kills me about the whole big booty white girl thing. It was before white girls were more attractive than black girls because they had the flat, tight butt. And black girls with the big, shaky booties were disgusting. But now all of a sudden they've taken what we have naturally and made an empire out of it. You know what I'm saying? And now it's no longer undesirable because it's on white women. How is that?
Well, I don't know who you've been talking to, but I don't know none of the fellas who said that the big booty was undesirable.
Now it's popular.
What?
But I'm telling
you.
Ow.
Hold on. No.
It's always been.
Yes, big booty has never been out of style. I don't know, and I, you know, from the brothers I hang around in my nerd circle, or the brothers I hang around the quote unquote athletes, ain't nobody saying, "Oh, booty is unattractive." It ain't happening. It ain't never happened. So, you know, that just because Cosmopolitan said it, none of us read that anyway. So, you know, I can tell you, there were no men that was reading Cosmopolitan saying, "Oh, big booty ain't good."
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. Anyway, now is the time. Now is the time for the dumbasses.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we can't go without our dumbasses of the week. And as always, you know, I'm the gracious host. Ladies first. You want to break out your dumbass?
Yeah, I want to break out two dumbasses from my hometown. Well, not my hometown, but the city that I live in, Birmingham, Alabama. It seems that we have teen dumbasses, father and son, decided to stalk the father's ex-wife who had recently gotten married. And they decided to get drunk together and stalk her, call her, harass her, wouldn't leave her alone, so they decided to go over to the house. And they went over to her house, and she wouldn't let them in, you know, so they got mad and thought that, you know, let's bust their tires, let's vandalize their vehicles. Well, we talked before on the show about dumbass people never getting the right people, the people that they're trying to target, it's always the innocent people. Well, it's the same case here. They decided to bust tires on a couple cars, seeing it was the ex-wife and the new husband's car, and it was actually the neighbor's car, and they totally vandalized the cars. So now they're sitting in jail, not just for vandalizing the cars, but for stalking, harassment, and all of these other lists of charges. And she wasn't even going to press charges until they started vandalizing people's vehicles. She was just going to leave it alone. But now their dumbasses are in prison for a while.
All right. Well, makes sense to me. And, you know, people who want to vandalize other people because they don't want to be with them no more, I just hope lightning strikes you or something like that. I mean, I don't understand that. Look, they don't want you. Move on. Now, my dumb ass, you know how last week we talked about the women who were fighting over who was going to be the heaviest? You know, we talked about the woman who she decides she's going to lose weight because...
Right, I remember.
Yeah, well, she got beat out by another woman who was 600 pounds, but they got beat out by Pauline Potter. Pauline Potter, out of Sacramento, 47 years old, tipping the scale at 643 pounds, is now the 2012 Guinness Book World Record champ. She will be featured in the section of a new book called Extreme Beauty.
Extreme Beauty?
Yeah, they had all been, the Donna Simpson and Susan Eman, they had all been vying to be the heaviest woman in the world, and Miss Potter beat them out. Not to be confused with Harry Potter's mom, because she's not. If Pauline Potter is totally different person. Now, the funny thing is about this, you know, we focus on this dumbass, you talking about people who not making sense. And I mean, to be in the Guinness, a lot of these Guinness Book of World Record stuff, I mean, at first it was like harmless, it was a sideshow. I mean, but when you're fighting to be the most, hopefully I'm saying this right, the unhealthiest person in the world so that you can get a record. I'm intelligence is on call. You know, it's like, now I'm in the record book, I can lose weight. Like, oh, I'm at 643 pounds, I got the record, now I can lose weight.
They never thought that maybe it's going to be hard to lose that weight.
Well, I mean, undoubtedly it's going to be hard to lose weight. They'll
kill themselves in the process of trying to gain it. I mean...
Well, see, this goes back to what we were talking about earlier, where you have over on the continent what they call Africa... is massive starvation all over. Mm-hmm. And here, you know, we talk about the struggles, and you know, we see the news, everybody talking about the struggles we have here. And yeah, times are hard, but comparatively, times are not hard.
No.
We got people who are the fattest people in the world. We've got the three fattest people in the world here.
So we should have no problem with anybody going to be at home at night.
Right. I mean, but see, that's what we're talking about. The whole perception. You know, our depth perception is off. When that's what we're looking for. That's what's important. You know, we always talk about what's important. I mean, is that what it is? You know, who can be the most unhealthiest? I'm not understanding it. You know, I mean, it's like the Libyan people. You know, we talk about we bringing freedom to them. They had their own homes, free health care, 17 cents a gallon gas. Now they liberated.
Now they're broke.
Yeah. And neighbors shooting at them, whatnot. I mean, where is the common sense in that? I mean, we talk, he's a despotic dictator. I mean, but was Libya, everybody shooting at each other, going crazy? No. I mean, now it is.
People can't leave well enough alone. It's like, contentment is not enough anymore.
Well,
it's like greed is running rampant. It's like, okay, I have to get this, I have to have this, I have to have that. But really, all you need is the necessities of life and you're fine. And when you go outside of trying to get the necessities just, you know, to have extra, you should stop and think, I'm really messing myself up. Don't lose what you got trying to get what you want.
Right. And on that note, we want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank my man Chris Crazy House for coming on. I want to thank you, Miss 100%, for being the great co-host that you are. And I'm Dick Hugger, a.k.a. After N-Word from Miss 100%. We are Smooth Drama. Y'all out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast, smooth. She is the lady with her hands up.
Where the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth. Drama.